Blog Talk Radio.
Show. This is none other than G. Wright. I hope that you guys are enjoying yourselves wherever you are today. You're going to be in for a treat because today I'm going to have with me none other than Corey George. And but before we get things started, I just wanted to say to you guys that I am so appreciative to have those who actually listen to the radio show. Actually call in and listen. But before we get started with today's message, I'd like to play something for you, and then the next voice you're going to hear is none other than Corey George. This is Close by Kareem Akin.
Okay.
The next voice that you're going to be listening to right now in a second is none other than Corey George. This is G Wright. You're listening to the Heart of Love radio show. And I have with me on the show again today none other than Corey George, life coach, author, and radio host. What's going on?
How's it going, sir? It's nice to be on again.
Well, listen, listeners, let me tell you this. I've been enjoying having you on the show, and I got a lot of good feedback from you being on the show the last time. So I'm definitely happy that you actually come on.
Well, cool. Well, I actually got a few messages on Facebook, so you know, so it's always encouraging, you know, to be able to inspire people to, you know, but to live beyond their, you know, but to live beyond what they think that their mental means are, you know, because in most cases we always talk about trying to live beyond our financial means, but some of us don't even live up to our mental potential. So I'm excited to be sharing that potential with everybody. So,
well, you know, I definitely have to say this. Last time, this is your second time on the show, right?
Right, right.
Well, let me say this. That's how much it's been on my mind so much. Some of the things that we talked about last time you were on, because I was able to share with some people some of the same things you had told me. And one of the things that definitely stuck out to me was the part when you said that we hold on to about what? See, our capacity, we hold on to maybe 80% of the things that happen to us, and that means that we only have like 20% left to work with, you know, because sometimes we hold on to so many different things. So since the last time I've spoken with you, I mean, I've been able to personally, I'm still working through some issues. I still have some issues, but one thing that I was able to work through for myself was I guess I'm not going to say it on here, but you know, I'll talk to you later. But I can share. I know I'm about to talk about this on radio. But, you know, there's nothing wrong with that when it comes down time for that. But what I was going to say is one thing I can share is about holding on to, you know, hurt. You know, holding on to things that happened to me, and get to a point where it's, you know what, I can talk about some of the things I've been through. And I can talk about some of my experiences. So that's definitely one thing, just having you on, really, it just really opened up a big door for me in the sense of learning not to hold on to so much. You know, because we all have our little idiosyncrasies, you know, things that, you know, we have our pet peeves sometimes. And sometimes our pet peeves can really hurt us. And we end up holding on to grudges, and we're not able to fully function the way I feel like God really has planned for us to function, because we are holding on to so many things.
Well, see, my truth is that for myself, the only way that I can write this book is, you know, is by living those lessons. And, you know, you're absolutely right. One of the biggest lessons that I've learned is that when I hold on to things, that's an instant wall. That wall is already up because I'm not allowing myself to let it go. And after some point, you have to ask yourself, what is the point of holding on to it? Because if time has passed, because I heard Dr. Phil say something very, very, very powerful, is that time doesn't heal wounds. It's what you do in the time span that heals wounds. So if you're holding on to something for 7 years, if you haven't done anything within your spirit to try to let it go or to resolve it, then it's still as fresh as if the day has happened. So you have to make that step in order to free yourself because in most cases we're waiting on someone else to free us, and we want answers to everything. And sometimes the answer is, you know, is the worst part of the equation. And at times you have to ask yourself, can I go on without knowing all the answers? And the truth is, yes, there are certain things that we have to understand we're not meant to know the answers, because the answers themselves are more dangerous than what we believe is the truth right now. And, you know, and this all goes back to that whole chapter, you know, I spoke about forgiveness, and I just threw out the 80-20 rule as an example. But the thing is, our mind is a conscious thing, and it's a sponge. And basically, as a sponge, it can only hold so much. So as soon as that sponge is full, things start to leak out, things start to leak out. So unfortunately, if we're holding on to mostly baggage, the things that start to leak out are the good things because we don't know how to hold on to that. But boy, are we good at holding on to what's blocking us. And in most cases, we are our own worst enemy. So the whole point of forgiveness is not to erase the past, because the past is there for you to learn from. You know, make sure you learn that lesson as to why you had to go through it, because as you said, all these steps are ordered. You have to understand why you were sent through it. And stop questioning stop spending time trying to question the actual event, but spend your time asking, what was I supposed to learn out of this adversity? And that's what broke my chains. And so these are the things I share with people in the book, is that it's not always about questioning why you went through it. It's, you know, it's questioning what was I supposed to get from it, and how do I become a better person so the way hopefully it won't happen again, or else if it does happen again, I know how to come through it. So it's those valuable lessons that we don't allow ourselves to learn, because we have this fear of, well, maybe if we forgive it, then we're saying it's okay to do certain things. No, it's not, because the thing is, if you say it's okay, then you haven't learned the lesson. And so that was the point I was trying to make, is that we can only hold so much in until it hurts us and we can't let certain things in anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think the biggest thing, even with that situation, is even with what you're saying as far as letting things go, and is the fact that, not just saying time will heal all wounds, it's amazing how certain words, like with that phrase that you put in there, if you do something about it, it's amazing that, you know, sometimes we think, time will heal all wounds. Like you said, if we don't do anything to work towards that, then that wound's still going to be there in the same place. It just might be just a little deeper underneath more skin, underneath more situations and problems.
Exactly.
Now, first of all, there are so many things. For those who are listening, this is G. Wright. The number here is 646-595-4311. I have none other than the infamous and widely acclaimed best-selling author, soon-to-be best-selling author, radio host, and life coach, Corey George, online. So definitely make sure you call in to 646-595 to speak with Corey. If you have some questions, if there's some things in your heart and mind you would like to discuss, make sure you call in. And make sure you also press that one button, so I'll know that you're in the queue and you're ready to come on live. Corey, since the last time I've spoken with you, so many things have been going on. First of all, can you tell the readers again, the listeners, the name of your book?
Sure. The book is called Fear Stand, and the subtitle is Living Beyond Your Shadows. And the reason why I had to have a subtitle is because I wrote this book for the people. You know, there was a message that I knew that I had to write, and it's been on my heart since 2008, and it's ready to come out. I'm excited to announce the fact that you could actually go and, you know, and you can make your advance purchase now if you go to my website, which is CoreyGeorgeOnline.com. And the retail price of the book is $15.95, but I'm offering it now for $12.95, so that's a $3 discount, plus I will personally sign each copy during the pre-sales time period, as well as $1 from each copy sold is going to go to a charity, or two or three, because I know this project is not only for the people, but it's also for those things that I'm passionate about. So I'm excited to be able to offer it in a pre-sales format now, and the book is 214 pages of pure honesty. This is the most transparent I've ever been in my life, so that's why I had to take my time, make sure that each message and, you know, each chapter was written in the mindset of allowing people that time to be selfish with themselves, because in most cases we're always doing something, you know, working, taking care of kids, taking care of our life, but we don't take the time out to show ourselves the love that we actually need. So my goal for this book is to reintroduce the reader back to themselves and to understand that they were worthy of greatness at birth. It's just that life taught us that for some reason, we became unworthy of all the things that we, you know, had close to our heart. And so, again, if you want to make an advance purchase, but go to Corey George Online, that's CoreyGeorgeOnline.com, and we are looking to have the books ready for shipment by mid-May. I'm excited about the project. You know, again, I've gone through, you know, some processes with it. I had a great team to work with. I got some great feedback. So, and so again, this is not about me just writing a book. This is more so I went and I let other folks read this book, and it gave me their feedback and some things I had to go back and change, you know, just to make sure that the message that I was trying to give out to people, you know, is exactly what I meant for it to be. And it's not just lessons. It's also each chapter has a set of exercises that allow you to start the process of journaling. And also what that does is it allows you to see what you think, because in most cases we don't know, we don't have any idea of the magnitude of our thoughts until we either say it out loud or we write it down. So this is an opportunity for the reader to say, wow, I didn't know that I thought this about myself. I didn't know that I forgot that this was a passion of mine, or I didn't know that this brought me joy. So how do I reunite myself with what brings me joy? And it can be the simplest of things, and sometimes it can mean, okay, now I can take 10 minutes out of my day to enjoy doing something that I love to do, although I may not have the means to do it full-time or to do it all the time, at least give myself back that joy. And, you know, and the title itself is a play on words. You know, it's like my life. I feel like I lived most of my life sitting down waiting for people to tell me when I was worthy, until one day I just decided, hey, if I stand up, I may not get every opportunity, but at least someone knows I'm in the room. So at least then people say, who is Corey? I'm the only one in the room standing up. And I may not win every opportunity, but there's a stronger chance that someone will remember who I am.
Right. You know, sit or stand, living beyond well. You know, sit or stand. You know, that's, you know, I'm a teacher, so I'm an educator, you know, as well. So when I see that sit or stand, living successfully beyond your own shadows, wow, it makes you really, really think, because either we're sitting or we're standing. You know, either we're doing it or we're not doing it. You know, so I'm definitely putting the word out about your book. This is definitely something I think that people, we really need to pay attention to. I believe this is the time where we can really make a difference and really, really make a change in our lives. I think this is the moment. You know, Oprah talks about the defining moment. I think this is the defining moment. Either we're going to sit or we're going to stand.
Right. Well, you know, and this world has changed so much that a lot of things, you know, force us to sit down because we succumb to a lot of the adversities that aren't even our own. I mean, you know, and so for example, you know, the ways of the world, most of us did not create it, but we live in it, you know, as well as hard times, you know, jobs being lost, families being torn apart. Some of these things have, you know, they have no relation to what we're doing, you know, directly, but we're affected by it. But how do we keep going, you know, beyond that? And there's a chapter in my book, I think it's maybe chapter 12, that says driving beyond stop signs. It also talks about, it's like when life throws you a curveball, but do you just stop and get hit by the curveball, or do you just move out the way and you find a new path? So it is about choices, and it's about understanding that you always had a choice, and that every day it's not going to be, you know, this fantastic happy day, because I talk about my bouts with depression. Yes, I still have my days where I know that I'm a victim of a certain thing, but as soon as it happens, I know that I will be victorious because I know what my culprit is. And, you know, and again, I'm very transparent in this book, you know, because most people who know me personally, you know, see me as a life coach and see me as this upstanding person that has no issues and has this charming life, but I had to come from something, in order to give you something. And I'm okay with that, and I've made resolve with those things. And you spoke about issues earlier, and the main thing I want to say about issues, you know, is that we have two choices with issues. Either we manage them or we try and resolve them. Because not every issue is meant to be resolved, because certain things are part of our essence. If we had a chance to clear off every issue off our plate, we'd be a blank slate. So what, you know, and so what would be our definition? You know, so those little things that we call quirks or issues may just be our personality, and we have to be able to proudly present who we are in front of anybody and say, hey, take me as I am. Yes, I'm a work in progress, but take me as I am now because this is my definition, instead of trying to be the person that we hope everyone needs us to be. And, you know, and that's a freeing moment when you can proudly say, hey, you know what, I'm going to be Corey right now. And if Corey's not enough, unfortunately, I can't be more than what I am. But if you allow me to change or to change for my good, you'll see me grow. So it's about understanding that we all have that capacity to change. I don't care how old you are, and be open to it, but also just be free of who you are and own your own reality for what it is right now, because that's the only way that you open yourself up for learning, too. And I think that most people can take you as you are if you're honest about it. It's when we, you know, and it's when we actually put up this, you know, whole facade of us being perfect, and then one day, 1 year, 10 years down the road, we find out this, you know, but this whole image was wrong. That's when we distrust people. I can trust you if you come as you are. I may not like everything that you do. I'm not supposed to. I'm not supposed to like everything that you do because you're human. And so therefore, I accept the fact that you will bother me sometimes, but because you're honest about who you are and you make and you make no apologies about being honest, I can be cool with you. You know, so it's about being honest with who you are, too.
Yeah, you know, the thing about it is that I think, I'll just say for myself, I felt like when I was growing up, I felt like there was so much pressure for me to be, you know, perfect. You know, it's like, you know, you want to be liked, you want your family to love you, you want your parents to love you, you want to make sure that everyone is pleased, everyone's happy. But now at this age, it's like, you know what, people are living their lives, and it's like, okay, your family, they're living their lives. You know, one thing you have to do is make sure you do, like you said, be true to who you are, and that means the parts of you that you like, the parts of you that you want to work on, all those parts, and being true to God, and make sure you do what you're supposed to do in relationship with God. Everything else, you know, that's on them, because while you're worrying about other people and spending time worrying about what everyone else is going through, they're just relaxing and having fun, and we're actually the ones who are just going through this big, major thing. And they're not even thinking about that they didn't call us or they didn't say you did a good job. So for myself, coming older, I'm just realizing, you know, as long as I'm being true, as long as I know the truth, as long as I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing and where I'm supposed to be, you know, whatever anyone else thinks, it really doesn't matter. As long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to.
Well, you know, and for those who are really deep, you know, really deep into their Bibles, you know, the Bible talks about the fact that we are made of His image. So why is it that, you know, we allow life's issues to make us feel like we are not destined, you know, for greatness? But also, as human beings, we are destined to make mistakes. And we learn our most valuable lessons if we keep our ears and mind open to, you know, whose fault was it? I mean, if it was my fault and I'm holding someone else responsible, I don't learn the lesson. And the lesson can be the best thing that can carry me forward in life. And, you know, like myself, I held on to grudges that were related to my sexual abuse, to my fears of abandonment, that kept me trapped, you know, out of mistrust, distrust, or anything that I felt like I couldn't do it. I was always waiting for approval. You know, I was always waiting for someone to add value to my life. But the funny part about that is that when that person, place, or thing left my life, they took the value they brought into my life. So then I started from a blank slate over and over again, and I got tired of having to rebuild myself and realize it wasn't their fault. I should have walked into each relationship, you know, be it friend, lover, workplace, being a full person and acknowledging the fact that I may have my issues, but I came to you as a complete being, first of all. But again, a lot of us don't understand that it's not really that hard, but we have to put it into practice, and it won't happen overnight. We have to take those baby steps and say, what are the things that are causing me to feel less valuable? How do I replenish my value before I approach something else to bring me value? And, you know, this whole outlook has changed the way that I see, you know, my role as a parent. You know, I tell my kids all the time, you're okay the way that you are. I want the best for you, but understand that you're whole right now. So basically, if anyone tells you that you're not, but you have to come because allow anyone to make my kids feel less than, because I know what that feels like. So it's, you know, and you know, so it's about learning those lessons, and then at the, you know, and the best part of my book, I think, at the end is when I tell people, you know, now that you've learned these little things, pass it on to someone else who can really use these things, you know, because there's a lot of great people that know great lessons, but are holding on to these things as if it's their own right to hold on to it, like they made these lessons up. It's like, no, you had to learn from someone. So give this to somebody else, and that's how you make the world better. You try and multiply your good deeds and your good sentiment, towards everybody else.
Right. You know, let me ask you this question. In regards to holding on things, let me give you an example of what happened. I guess I have this BlackBerry, right? And how it goes is this, that, you know, BlackBerries do updates. So they did an update on my BlackBerry, and I didn't know it until I saw the emblem or whatever on my screen. Well, what happens, I touched it, and I backed up. And what happens is, you know how you get rid of some numbers because you know, the person might have, you felt like they missed you as a friend, and they, you know, so you delete the number. Well, what it did was that it added about 200 numbers that were saved online in my account. It added 200 numbers. So it added numbers of people whose numbers I might have deleted because I said, you know what, they didn't treat me right. I deleted it, or, you know, I thought, you know what, they're not really a good friend. They're not keeping in touch. You know, then once you delete some of the numbers, you want to say, oh, man, why did I delete it? Because now I want to call and see how they're doing, and I don't have any way to get in touch with them. So what happens is that I've had some numbers of some friends who used to be close, who I used to be close with. So I said, let me reach out and say hello. So I reached out, and, you know, of course, I went through my phone book and deleted some numbers. Some numbers I just didn't want to, you know, there's no need to keep in touch. But for those you want to keep in touch, let's say the person did not, they weren't that receptive, but they were someone that you did consider to be a friend, but they're going through what they're going through at the time, I was going through what I was going through at the time, and I'm relocated and never called. When do you know to really just let go? I mean, if you call them and they're not receptive, do you keep on trying to call, or do you just say, you know what, this person used to be a friend. I'm just going to call them maybe one more time and see if I can possibly reach them to discuss with them, or do you just say, you know what, let me just go ahead and delete the number and just keep on living my life.
Well, I want to take it from a more specific setting to a more, you know, to more of a conceptual thing. You have to ask yourself, you're calling this person, what is the end result? See, I tell people, you know, because being a life coach, I work by goals. When you come to me as a client, I'm thinking, okay, what is the end result? Then we work backwards and we create a plan. With this particular, you know, incident, what were you hoping for? And then if the goal was to reunite as a friend, then you may have had to say that, you know, to say that and then explain why certain things happen. But if you're just reaching out just to reach out and not, you know, and not have clear intention, that leaves room for more damage because you didn't know what you were going to say and you didn't know what was going to come back. So I would say in this, you know, in this whole thing, I would think about what is the intention, because obviously if you hadn't reached out before and you were okay with that, because sometimes you let go of people and if you're okay with that and it doesn't cause you any pain, any loss, it's probably best because there was no true meaning of that person in your life at the time or right now. But if you know that you want the person in your life, or at least try, I don't see any harm in trying, you know, more than once. But I wouldn't make myself available for humiliation, you know, or degradation, because after some point, you look like the desperate one. But if you don't know what the end result is, so ask yourself for this particular person, what did you hope for? If you didn't have anything in mind, I would say you left yourself open for something that you may not really understand, and you have to communicate with intention. That's why I tell people, if you call me on the phone, what are you calling me for? It sounds rude at first, but the intent is, my time is valuable, just like yours. So if you call me, I'm expecting you to have a purpose in the conversation, because I don't call folks just to say hi unless I missed you and I haven't heard your voice, I got to check on you. But in most cases, if I'm calling Greg like you, I'm calling you to talk about something. So you know, at the end of the conversation, I value and I respect your time. So again, it's about purpose and intent. What is the intent behind that communication?
Yeah.
So
yeah, you know,
Yeah,
thanks, man. You know, I appreciate that. I know for myself with this particular person, you know, I really want to know, hey, what happened? You know, why, when I was moving, you know, what happened? You know, what's going on? Just catch up. But, you know, like you said, I think the biggest thing is if they don't, you call, you know, I might call once one day and then another time another day. If they say they'll call me back and they don't call me back, then just go ahead and delete it. You know, so I'm just giving it another day. But,
and you brought up something else, too, that I meant to mention also, is that you also have to ask yourself, in this type of situation, if you guys lost touch and you're asking a question, I would say always understand that you can get the worst answer. So before you ask that question, because that could be a dangerous question, you know, what happened? You know, that's such an open-ended question that, you know, that one question, what happened, that can have a minor, you know, result or a major result that can be more heartbreaking. So, again, you know, at the top of the hour I spoke of, some, you know, certain questions don't need to be answered. Are you ready to find out, you know, what happened? Are you prepared for the worst possible answer? So, you know, again, tread carefully and, you know, have intent when you're asking that question, because you don't know the mindset of that person and truly why it happened. It may be something that you really don't want to hear, and that'll set you back. So now you're back at zero when you may have been at 4 or 5, you know, before the conversation.
Oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, you know, the reason why I asked that question is because of what you had, the statement you had made earlier in a conversation, as far as letting some things go and moving on and things like that. So, you know, that's just something that came up. So it's amazing how this opportunity has been good, because in some places, at some states, I was able to actually reach out to some people, you know, who have busy schedules like you and I have, and also actually get in touch with them and say, hey, how's it going? What's going on? And, you know, so it was pretty cool, but I agree with you. I think I've already reached out.
Well, and I also think that, you know, I think we get caught up in the quantity of things, you know, as opposed to the quality. You know, it goes back to having, if you have 200 pairs of shoes, but you only wear 10 of them, you have 190 shoes that you wasted the money on. You know what I'm saying? So if you have, so to me, if I call you every day, but it's gibberish, it's non-monumental. Whereas if I call you once a week to check up on you and it's meaningful, does it mean that we are less friends because we only talk once a week, as opposed to the person that emails you, you know, stuff four times a day and you talk every day? No, it's about the quality of the communication. And we have to get back to basically expecting quality, outside of quantity. You know, it's about the quality of the things that we expect out of our lives, too.
You know, that's so true, and I can honestly say this, that even getting to this point, like what you're saying, even with that, just getting to a point where I just said, I've been in this good place since I relocated, that I've been able to really deal with, you know, having quality friendships, and the quantity thing, you know, it's good to always know good people, and I guess I thought that this person was a good person. You know, I just wanted to know what actually happened. But if I reached out, the person knows I reached out, and they don't reach back out, then just keep on going. And sometimes you don't get an answer. Sometimes you don't, like you said, sometimes you don't get an answer.
And the truth is, it may not even be that the person is a bad person. I have to understand that I'm not everybody's cup of tea. You know, although I'm a life coach and I do this and that, I'm not friends with everybody. There are folks that I try to, I guess, gel friendships with, and as well as on the other end, it just wasn't It just wasn't as associative. So that means I can see you out and about, say hello, what's up, and be as friendly as I can when I see you. But other than that, we have no communication. It's not bad. It's just that we have nothing that's joining us in the common threads that would require me to say, hey, how is Joe doing, or how is Sarah doing? I have, you know, my best friend and I, we don't see each other but once every, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, but he lives not too far from me. But I know that when we hang out, it's always great. So you have to kind of define what type of people you require in your circle and what type of people you require in your box. And the box is different than the circle. But see, the circle, you know, but that has no jagged edges. But the circle, you know, the circle is a continuous thing. And so the circle in my life means that these people are the people that I trust, because no matter what happens, you know, when one good thing happens to them, it happens in the whole circle. That square, you know, I can break, you know, one part of that square, and that square is broken, and it's not a square anymore. And it's okay to be there, but you're more of that, you know, but you're more of that that square. And I wouldn't say friendship, it's more of the association. So you have to know where to place people, and it's not bad that you put folks in the square. It's that you know what effect that they can have over your life, or the effect that they don't have over your life. And if you place them accordingly, that makes it easier, because there are certain folks I know that if I was around them way too much, I would get aggravated. I may even get myself hurt. So I have to know to put you in a safe place. I can still be cool with you, but I can put you in a safe place and say it's okay. Now, you know, now you may make me a good friend, and that's totally fine, but I can trust myself and say I know what place that you fit into my, you know, into my life.
Yeah. You know, and I say that because I know that I'm not the only one probably who actually tries to do that, who actually deals with this. So I think it's definitely a good thing to talk about. So I definitely appreciate you shedding light on that, because I think that a lot of conversations I hear a lot of conversations about people dealing with friendships that they don't have any longer, or relationships that have gone bad, and why they don't like this person, why this person was a friend. And I think that when you said quality and not quantity, and just invest in people who invest in you, invest in people who actually add something to your life.
Exactly. And, you know, and that value can be something minute, or it can be something monumental. You know, I mean, I have a large family, but that doesn't mean I keep in contact with all my family. I'll see them, you know, on those trips that I go back home, but I know the family that if I need something or if they need me, we have the numbers on speed dial, and it's just, you know, certain friends as well. And, you know, and this leads into the chapter I have that's called Building Your Support System. I think that's a valuable chapter because it helps you to recognize what really is a support system. You know, that person that's always doubting your skills, always telling you, man, why do you want to do this and that, and it's never encouraging you, that's not part of your support system. So that chapter alone, it'll first tell you what, you know, exactly what a support system is and how to look for those valuable parts and how to slice away those toxic parts. And I use the semblance of a tree. You know, I take you through all the parts of a tree from, you know, the roots, you know, root system, the foundation, the leaves, the branches, the trunk, and it allows you to understand how although we see a tree outside, we see one living being, you know, thing, you know, but that tree has several parts that if one part falters, you can tell in the leaves and the branches if that tree is unhealthy from the start. So it allows you to understand that you are that tree. And from your tree, all the little branches are people and things that you, you know, things that you hold on to that you think you need. And if you have a healthy support system, you grow, because each piece of your support system is, you know, they need to want the best for you. Even if what they feel is the best is telling you honestly, dude, listen, I don't think this is good for you, or dude, I think that, you know, that this is dangerous. But you know who wants the best for you. It's in the verbiage. You know, it's in the way that they tell you. It's in the way that they care. But if someone is always negative and always trying to hold you into their level, you know, in most cases, they don't want you to be above, because they will feel, you know, somewhat displaced in your life. So.
Yeah, you know, and it's amazing that you said that, and you talk about putting people in their places. I've had to sit back and I've had to look at friendships and people I consider friends, and one of the things that really got to me was that I realized that some people I thought were friends really weren't as much friends as they weren't as close as I thought, because like I said, instead of building me up, it's like they're just building, trying to tear me down. It's like, yo, what is going on? So like, it's funny how you, how we do those things as far as put people in different categories. You know, I've had to move one of my friends to a different category because I realized, hey, he's not building me up. And if you're not really building me up, then that means that, to me, I felt like I diagnosed it that the person really didn't want me to want to feel like I was above them. So they had to always, boom, you need to do this. You're not doing that right. So I just had to stick here and say, is this part of my foundation? Is this really part of my foundation of friendship?
You know what? Well, you know what, and on the flip side, I want to ask you this, you know, and it's not really a question that you need to answer, but also ask yourself, are you open to them being honest? Because sometimes we want to believe that every choice that we make is right for us, and sometimes we're so damaged or so displaced in our own thoughts that we make toxic choices, and we're not ready for someone to tell us, hey, I don't think this is the right choice for you. So you also have to understand that, put yourself in a position looking back at you and saying, I'm telling you as a friend, this may not be a right choice. To make sure that you evaluate it to a point where it's, are you sure that this is, you know, that this person is, you know, is downplaying something, or is it more so that, you know, sometimes we are not ready to hear the truth. And sometimes in that non-truth, we let go of valuable people and we want yes people all the time. So it's not saying that that's you, but, you know, but I want to make sure I put that out to the audience that if you have true friends, you have to be available to them as well for their honesty, because true friends love who you are and they know your strengths and your weaknesses even when you don't. So sometimes we have to rely on, you know, on their humble opinion to say, listen, what do you think about this? You know, because like my book, I wrote the book a while ago. I sent it to 20 people. I said, I want your feedback. Tell me if the message is, you know, based on the name of the title, based on the content. Tell me the messages that you got from these chapters. And if it wasn't what I thought I was going to do with it, I went back and I added something, you know, or else I took something out. I made sure that I was safe in a place where I can take the judgment, because my name is on this. But I have to make sure that this came from a place where it's about being open and honest. So I was happy that I was at a point in my life, because I wasn't always that way, at a point in my life where I'm open to you know, but to that entire realm of being available to be judged.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing is recognizing who's for you, because I can hear the truth. I can accept the truth. It's true. It might make me angry. I might be ready to hit somebody. But no, but not honestly, seriously. But I've gotten to a point where I can accept the truth if it's the truth. But if I see that the person's intention is not, you know, it's like, you know what, I can't receive that, because I don't even really believe that's coming from a good, you know where people are coming from a good place when they're not coming from a good place.
Well, you know, and the truth is supposed to make you think. You know, the truth is supposed to make you say, wow, I never thought about it this way. And, you know, and some things that you may hear today, you know, it may not even make any sense until, oh, maybe next week. But you know in your heart that you need to hold on to that, you know, that jewel of knowledge, because again, it's about intent. Those folks who are for you, they know you well enough to know how you can receive the information best. I have several friends where I may talk to you one way, then I may talk to my best friend a totally different way, because I know how he prefers to be communicated to. So you have to love someone enough to understand what's best for them and how that they will best receive the information. And when you're able to acknowledge someone as an individual, say, I know how this person needs to be spoken to. I know how this person needs to be written to. You make that person feel like you pay attention to them. And that's even in those long-term relationships, you know, like lovers and wives and husbands. It's about paying attention to those details. I don't want to treat my new person like I treated my ex. I want to treat the new person like the new person. And I want to leave the ex as that last experience that I learned from. But the new person, I want to learn the ways that I need to talk to them. I want to learn the things that I forgot to do the last time. And I want to be open to changing some things that may have caused the end of the last one, because I truly believe that, you know, then when things end, in most cases, it's the fault of two people. There's always two or three stories, but we know what our part was. Either we picked the wrong person or we let certain things happen that we normally should not have let happen. So it's about that growth and being open to growth on, you know, on so many other levels. And it just makes you ready for, like, you know, what the next day is going to hold. It's like, wow, I don't know what I'm going to learn the next day. And it's an exciting place to be because I learn from people all the time. And it's a, you know, it's a joy. You know, even as a coach, I tell people I'm a coach, but I'm coachable. I have a life coach. I have a mentor. So I'm not at the, you know, I'm not at the level where people can't tell me anything. You know, I'm learning from them, and then I share the message through them. Well, you know, from them through me back to you in a way that I think that, you know, that you need to hear it. So,
you know what? I have to tell you this, man. I'm just enjoying, you know, I can talk to you all day and all night, you know. And if you're listening right now, guys, this is G. Wright listening to the Hard Love Radio Show. And I have with me author, life coach, and drum roll, please, and radio show host, rather than Corey George. The number is here, 646-595-4311. I do see a number in the queue. If you like to, if you have something you'd like to ask Corey, I'm George. Make sure you press 1. That way I'll know that you're ready to be brought on to the show live. And for those who are listening, I appreciate you guys for tuning in and listening to the show. This is he's just written a book. It's called Sit or Stand. And it is, what's the last part of it again? Sit or Stand.
The book is called Sit or Stand, and the subtitle is Living Beyond Your Shadows, you know, specifically for you. And again, if you're ready to make an advanced purchase, just go to CoreyGeorgeOnline.com. You can find out more about me, find out how to contact me, find out how to book me for your next gig or engagement. So I'm excited just to be available now, and the book itself will be in my hands hopefully by mid-May. And as soon as it's out, I will sign a copy. And you will save, you know, and you will save a total of $3 by buying it now. And also, $1 from each person, you know, each purchase is going to go towards charity. I highly favor, you know, projects that are geared towards mentoring because, you know, being a dad of two boys, I see the value in being there and being present in my kids' lives and showing up. So I know that, you know, that my kids are going to be part of that crew that's going to take care of you and I when we can't take care of ourselves. So my investment is in them. I am totally geared up to do what I need to do to spread the word about, you know, folks like us being involved with not just our own kids, but the kids, other people who don't have time because if they have, you know, a job or some other thing going on that they can't be there, someone needs to be there because every day you hear about, you know, these kids are doing things and they don't care about the consequences. And
right.
In most cases they don't know that there's something better because no one is making it available, and no one is really making it, you know, there for them. Because I grew up, you know, in hard times, and I'm excited to say that I'm here today by the grace of God and by the fact that I had a few role models that I clung on to. So it's just my responsibility to give that back now that I have the opportunity. So.
Well, you know what. One thing that I have to say is this, Corey, that, you know, I'm just blessed just to know you and to be able to say that you are personally one of my friends. So I definitely believe in what you're doing and everything that you stand for. So keep on keeping on. But before we go, you know, we have about 10 more minutes. I want to discuss some of these chapters. Then last time we talked about, in the beginning, you talk about your life, chapter 1. Chapter 2, accepting your truth, clearing the smoke. Then we talked about, the last time, chapter 3, depression, the phase of loneliness. Then chapter 4, paving the way for inner peace. And we got to that point. I just want to know if we could take a good, could we have a few more chapters that you did talk about building the basis for your friendship. But I would like for us to talk about real about each chapter a little bit, at least a couple minutes, at least a minute or two.
Well, hopefully we have time. I don't have the outline in front of me, but the first three chapters really are about identifying why I had to write the book. You know, I came from adversity that people, when they read them, was like, wait a minute, I would have never thought. And that's the entire purpose, is that you're not supposed to know by looking at me. So the first three chapters, I could just say, you know, in blanket terms, I'm explaining why I can only write this book, why I was blessed to write this book, is because I've gone through every exercise, everything in the book. And the great thing about this book is that each chapter starts with a personal pledge that I make you take for yourself to know that before you start reading, you know, one word in this chapter, I've already made the definition for your success before that chapter starts, so you have no excuse. And in terms of, you know, in terms of the chapter called Paving the Way for Inner Peace, this is really about sanity. This is really about understanding that sometimes sanity is the joy of letting it go. You know, sanity is the joy of not having all the answers, because we beat ourselves up asking the same questions that we don't have answers for, and we ask the same question for years, and it's like, wow. At some point, you feel stupid. I know I did. But, you know, all it was that I didn't have to know, and to also accept everything that you are, because, you know, I'm 5'9", I'm black. That's not going to change. So certain things in our lives are not going to change, and when we understand that it makes us who we are, we become unique. You know, the book is about understanding that you were unique before you started reading this book, but at the end, but you're going to understand that, A, I'm unique, I'm powerful, I can accept the fact that there will be roadblocks, and there will be, you know, curveballs, but I can find a way to find an alternate path and enjoy the view while I'm going down that alternate path. So in a nutshell, that's what this book is about. And then at the end, it's paying it forward. How do I bless someone else with the knowledge that I've learned? Because far be it for me to share this with you one time and then no one else passes this along. But this book is your personal journal. This is not something that you may want to pass to friends, because I ask you personal questions about yourself that you can keep near and dear, and then maybe 6 months or, you know, 5 years down the road, but you can check your progress and see, wow, I have changed the way that I thought about myself, because in this, you know, in this question, I, you know, this answer is not really who I am anymore, you know, and it allows you to say, hello, how are you doing? And this is a question back to yourself, how are you doing? You know, I have to say, wow, I didn't know who Corey was until I asked myself, how are you doing? Go ahead.
I was just going to say, wow, how are you doing? You know, I hear Wendy Williams, how you doing? You know, but really, when you ask that question, it really is like, how are you doing? How many times we really ask ourselves how we're really doing?
You know, we don't, and we ask everybody else out, you know, because of our manners, how are you doing today? But how many times are you asking out of habit or out of intent? I ask people at work, how are you doing? And if they don't answer, I'm like, excuse me, I ask you, how are you doing? And it's really to let them know that I'm paying attention to you individually. I didn't ask for my good graces, because I'm already, you know, in God's graces. I'm asking to let you know that I'm paying attention. So, you know, and then ask yourself, how are you doing? Because we get caught up in the whole, you know, the whole notion of being nice to everybody else. But be nice to yourself, you know, and to understand that you are love, not the fact that you can give love, but you are love. And, you know, and so within that, once you find that power of understanding that you are made of love, that's when you can give it out, because you can't.
Yes.
You know, you can't. I mean, you can't, you know, give this new boyfriend, this new girlfriend, any part of you that was not there before. So if you don't love yourself completely, you can't love anybody else no more than you love yourself. And the level of self-love that you have for yourself dictates the treatment that you will allow to give to you. And that is such a true statement. I mean this from the bottom of my heart, is that when you have a certain level of self-love, you won't tolerate, you know, certain things, because you know that you are worthy of so much more.
Yeah. Dick, I have this friend who, you know, she was in, I guess she had this view of the type of man that she wanted, right? And
yes.
She'll get the type, she didn't get the quality, but she got the looks of what she wanted, but she didn't get the quality. And each time, it really just beat her up, and the whole night, he didn't beat her up, but the last time, you know, he just took her for a joyride because she didn't love herself. You know, she put on a lot of weight, and she got what she wanted physically. You know, he looked like the way she wanted him to look, but she didn't get the quality.
Well, you know, and that speaks to why, you're dating. I mean, are you dating to satisfy this primal urge? I mean, if that's the case, I mean, have a casual relationship without the connection. And it's crazy for me to say it, but hey, have it be what it is for you. But if you're sincerely looking for someone to complement, not complete, complement your fullness, your wholeness before you arrive, you need to be that whole person because, see, whole people only want to be with whole people. You will not find half a person. You will not find half a person that will want to be with another whole person because that whole person will intimidate you, and that whole person will not be attracted to a half a person. So trust me when I say, if someone beats up on you, you know, be it physically or mentally, they're not whole either because they need to beat up on you to feel whole, while a part of you needs to feel wanted. So you'll take anything to think you're whole. So this all plays on both parts. So if she's not finding the quality, maybe she doesn't believe that she is deserving of the quality, and that she's not putting out the fact that, hey, you know, in my walk, in my stride, in the way that I answer your questions, and in the questions I ask you, that I am letting you know that I'm looking for quality. It's about every part of the process. It's not just about, okay, I meet you and you're cute. No. What are your top five questions on your first date? Or what questions, but you ask a person when you first meet them? Yes, it sounds horrible, but at the same time, your time is valuable. As I said before, I'm not going to waste your time. And I can tell within 5 minutes if I want to be bothered with anybody on any level.
Yeah.
Because I know me.
Yeah. You know, real quickly, I know we have just about a few more minutes. I want to talk to you. I'm asking this question about expectations real quick. Chapter 9, you said for me. And relaying realistic expectations, you talk about personal pledge, defining expectations, the importance of expectations that we have of ourselves and others. And then
Well, that chapter is very powerful because sometimes when we are suffering from adversities, we place unrealistic expectations on other people to save us, you know? So let's say that you were that spouse was, but let's say that you were that person who was abused as a child or who had gone through certain things. That person that's in your life at that time, they normally are not equipped to deal with that adversity because they're not. It wasn't their, it wasn't their thing. But at the same time, when we take our time to undo a lot of that damage or to at least manage those effects, we then place realistic expectations. And then sometimes we become afraid to, speak expectations because we think we're putting rules on relationships. And yes, we are. You have to have rules for every, for everything you do. I mean, my kids have rules. There's rules at the workplace. It's like when you take on a new job, don't you have a job requirement? But because job postings tell you what the skills and the requirements are. Why can't we have those when we deal with other people? And they're not so obvious, but you have to know what this person needs to bring to your life, and you could translate that in a less confrontational way just by the way that you communicate. So it's about understanding that you have a right to have expectations, because if not, you are a blank slate that can be walked on. And, so it talks about that, and it talks about when you have so many issues, you have so many unrealistic expectations because they're based on those unresolved issues.
Right. You know, that's so true, Corey. I just wanted to say, man, personally, I'm just glad to have you on the show. And real quickly, for those who are listening, this is G Wright coming to you live. This is Corey George. Check him out at CoreyGeorgeOnline.com. Make sure you go there to get your pre-advanced copy of his book, Sit or Stand, subtitle, Living Beyond. Living successfully beyond your own shadows. Corey, any last-minute things you'd like to say to the audience?
Well, first of all, I would just like to say thank you to all of the support I've gotten on Facebook and all the other social networks, and all the people who have given me feedback on the material I've kind of leaked out here and there, and for the things that I've been sharing, you know, in most cases. And also, I'm proud to announce that I am actually going to be moving to a new network. I got a new gig that's starting in July, and it's called Discovering You with Corey George. So it's a radio show that, you know, that's building on my brand, and I hope to be able to, you know, but to be as inspiring as well as, you know, as well as down to earth, you know, and as well as informational as I can be. So this is all about, you know, spreading that love. And I want to thank you for having me on again. You know, it's always a joy. So I appreciate it.
I appreciate having you here. And first of all, let me say that I'm going to have to go to the website sometime tonight or early in the morning, make sure I get my pre-advanced copy signed by none other than yourself.
Of course. And, and the funny thing is you know me, so of course I can drive it to you, so that's no problem. So,
okay, please. In fact, I'll just say this. Call, let me know when you're available. We can meet up, and I'll bring you the money and get my book signed there, and I will take pictures of you signing my personal autograph copy.
All right. All right, well, you know what, and I want to tell all your listeners, you know, and make sure you learn to travel light. Make sure you take all that baggage and, you know, and try to turn it into an overnight bag, okay?
Yes, most definitely. God bless you, Corey, and I'll be talking with you soon, okay?
Okay, take care.
Thanks, you too. You guys, I appreciate you guys for tuning into the Hard Love Radio Show with G. Wright. Make sure that you go to CoreyGeorgeOnline.com. Get your pre-advanced book, A Sit and Stand, Living Beyond Your Own Shadows. So feel free to make sure you check in next Tuesday from 9 to 10, then next Thursday from 6 to 7. Have a great evening. God bless.